93 years ago, one University of Chicago professor, an expert on management accounting, started a little firm. That little firm, a little family, if you will, now is a large burgeoning one with over 30,000 employees across the world. With the stated aim of helping businesses improve their bottom line, that little family has gone on to be, over the course of the past 90-odd years, the byword for research and training and, indeed, sound advice. The name of that University of Chicago professor was James O. McKinsey, and the company, the family, was McKinsey & Company. From helping some of the biggest companies in the world make better decisions, to almost being an incubator to provide the world and its companies with some of the best-known CEOs and presidents, to indeed presidential candidates, McKinsey has been a champion of diversity and inclusion and one of the most enduring brand names in the world. Along the way, the company has also tackled global social challenges. The company has had a long-standing commitment to social responsibility. Over 600 non-profit organizations are supported every year, and there have already been more than 25,000 graduates of the nonprofit Generation, which was founded by the company in 2014. The India branch of the McKinsey family is spread across Bangalore, Chennai, Gurugram, Mumbai, and Trivandrum. And the point of this podcast is to be the voice of the McKinsey India family. We will be talking about the exemplary work that the family members have been doing across the country. What have they been doing outside of the professional context? Are they running marathons? Are they climbing mountains? Are they dancing or singing on professional stages? These are some of the stories of the extended McKinsey India family that you'll be listening to on this podcast. We'll also be featuring members of the McKinsey family who will talk to us about the work they're doing, what they see as the narrative and the future of the industries they're working in. It is essentially a family newsletter, but this time, you'll be listening to it. And that is why this is the voice of McKinsey India. The inaugural episode of the fortnightly internal podcast of McKinsey India. This is Voice of McKinsey India. And my name is Rakesh Sharma.
Voice of McKinsey India.
Let's start things off with news from McKinsey that you may have missed out on. This is What's Going On.
What's going on? What's going on?
GLAM is the vibrant worldwide network of LGBTQIA+ colleagues at McKinsey who are committed to each other's success and to attract exceptional LGBTQ individuals into the community. GLAM is, of course, short for Grow, Lead, Advance, and Mobilize. GLAM, if you did not know, has a proud perfect score of 100 from the Human Rights Commission Campaign Foundation's Corporate Equality Index, and that has been the case every year since 2006 when McKinsey joined the survey first. Now, it is a challenge well established that people who are out and proud as LGBTQ plus individuals have also found it difficult to find steady jobs in industry. Now, news from McKinsey India is that we participated in the RISE conference, that is Reimagining Inclusion for Social Equality, which was the first ever LGBTQIA plus conference and career fair in India that took place in Bangalore only recently. The aim was, of course, to develop members of the LGBTQ plus talent community as leaders of tomorrow. And North India's very first LGBTQ plus job fair in Confluence will also be taking place at the Lalit in New Delhi on the 23rd of November, and no doubt McKinsey India will be there as well. Some big names will be participating from the entertainment industry as well, including Suhail Abbasi, co-founder of Bombay Dost. Peppermint, a drag performer whom you may have seen on RuPaul's Drag Race, will be there. Manvendra Singh Gohil, Prince of Rajpipla and an LGBTQ plus activist, Sushant Divgikar, Keshav Suri, Pearl Daruvala, Shriram and Shri Gauri Savant, all LGBTQ activists, will be at this job fair. As you know, one of the deadliest cyclones in recent memory, Cyclone Bulbul, had hit Bangladesh as well as the east coast of India. It brought with it strong winds and torrential rain to the low-lying coasts of Bangladesh and eastern India. Across Bangladesh, for example, 2.1 million people have been relocated to cyclone shelters, but 4,000 houses were damaged or destroyed. In West Bengal, Bulbul had affected 4.65 lakh people and had damaged around 60,000 houses. Climate change is, of course, a global phenomenon, and as you know, the recent flooding that we saw in Venice in Italy is also part of this entire phenomenon. In several parts of coastal Odisha, heavy rain and high velocity winds triggered by Cyclone Bulbul had claimed at least two lives and wreaked havoc. To do our little bit in aid of Odisha cyclone relief, McKinsey Bombay office colleagues organized a football match in aid of Odisha relief. You can still continue to contribute to the Chief Minister's Relief Fund, that is CMRF, and our thank you to McKinsey Bombay office colleagues for their contribution to Odisha relief. Here's a quick pop quiz for you. What is common to Sundar Pichai, Sheryl Sandberg, Jayant Sinha, Pete Buttigieg, Rajat Gupta, Anil Kumar, and several others? Well, these are some of the best-known McKinsey alumni, and it is in that regard that I have to tell you that McKinsey India recently hosted a national alumni meet in Mumbai. As I told you, it was one big happy family, and this was a bit of a family reunion. No doubt, stories were exchanged, and a good time was had by all. Coming up next on Tete a Tete, we will be talking to Sheetal Iyer. Sheetal Iyer graduated top of her class at IIT Kharagpur, went on to get herself an MBA from Harvard Business School, and has been with McKinsey for the past 20 years. A partner at the Gurugram office, she's also one of the directors of the McKinsey Global Institute, and only recently has written a book about disruptions. At the forefront of tracking global trends, Sheetal Iyer is here to tell us what are those four aspects that are changing the world as we know it, and just how fast are these changes upon us. In addition, of course, she will tell us a little bit about her early days and time at McKinsey.
Tete a Tete.
Welcome to Tete a Tete. Sheetal, thank you so much for your time. The book that you've just written, congratulations on that.
Thank
Disruptions,
you, Rakesh.
Is making a lot of noise, not just in the office, but across the world. So if you could summarize things for us, let's start things off with that.
Right. There are a few things that will leap out at you in my book. So I'm just going to summarize a few of these pointers over here. Mm-hmm. One of it, of course, we all know we are upon, or rather the age of urbanization is upon us. If you just look at, say, the year 2000, 95%, mm-hmm. Rakesh, of Fortune Global 500 companies were all headquartered in developed economies. But much of this action is going to be moving to the emerging markets. So by 2025, you can see China gaining a lot more of newsprint headlines on account of the fact that it will be home to nearly half of the world's large companies.
That is more than like a billion dollars or more.
That's correct. So that's one key, I think, takeaway for all of our listeners. Urbanization. Then here's something we've all been reading of in regular newspapers as well. We're talking about a rapidly aging world that we live in. Mm-hmm. So just to give you an idea, the European Commission expects that by 2060, Germany's population is going to shrink by one-fifth, and the number of people of working age is going to fall from 54 million in 2010 to 36 million in 2060.
That's now, this 14 might, million drop.
That's correct. Now, for a lot of people, these numbers don't really mean anything. So let me just rephrase this. While aging has been evident in developed economies for some time, like Japan and Russia, etc., mm-hmm. we're also going to see this demographic deficit spreading to places like China very soon. China's back in my conversation.
Right.
We'll soon reach Latin America as well. So for the first time in human history, aging could mean that the planet's population will plateau.
Uh-huh.
We've never really seen this happen. So that's another
disruptor.
And, yes. So and clearly, economies will have to start, or governments will have to start focusing on this rapidly aging population. Then...
Wait. Don't give it all away just yet. There are two other disruptions that you speak about in your book, and we'll be talking about all of that and more. And indeed, Sheetal's time at McKinsey, and she's been with us for two decades now.
Yeah.
How did she start off as an associate, and how those experiences have been?
Yeah. There's one of those things I want to bring up, you know, accelerating technological change. And Rakesh, clearly, I was part of McKinsey at a time when we didn't have the kind of access that you see right now. So a good part of my days was spent at, libraries. I don't know where. What way?
No, you're not from the 18th century, Sheetal.
So a good part of my time was, I think, spent in double-clicking on essentially a lot of data that we have at a click of a button these days. So life used to be a lot of very different, plenty of agonizing, plenty more of the midnight oil being burnt.
Yeah. And that's not changed
a lot of people have been, of course, even now.
But just to give you context to what you were saying about technological changes, I was just reading, perhaps it was yours, that it took about 50 years for an invention like the telephone to come into half the households in America, whereas Facebook had 6 million users in its first year and about 100 times more than that in the next few years.
Yes.
So that's the kind of technological innovation that is happening, which is also a huge disruptor. So Sheetal will be here to talk to us more about the disruptors that are changing the world as we know it. So stick around.
Tete a Tete.
That was Tete a Tete, where we spoke to Sheetal Iyer, a director of the McKinsey Global Institute, who has just recently written a book that I cannot recommend enough. But outside of work, there is a life as well, and that is precisely what we tackle on this segment we like to call Post Office. On this edition of Post Office, we have Brian D'Souza, who works in the Bangalore office and who has been an avid athlete all his life. He's participated in the National Games in 2011 and 2015 and won a gold medal and a silver medal, respectively, in those those games in his preferred specialty, that is the 50-meter freestyle swimming. Of course, he's also an all-rounder and has been an associate with McKinsey for 4 years now after having graduated from St. Stephen's College in Delhi and IIM Calcutta. Today, he joins us to tell us about a very, very special achievement indeed outside of working hours. We'll hear all about it on this dispatch from the post office.
Notes from the post office.
Hello, Brian. Thanks for joining us. You have done something spectacular just this last month, and it's outside of working hours. Tell us all what this amazing achievement has been.
Thanks, Rakesh. It's nice to be here. What I took part in is called the Ironman Triathlon.
So it's better known as Milind Soman's Ironman, at least in India.
Yeah, it's nice to got that cleared. People shouldn't confuse it for the Avengers series. Yeah. Anyway, it's a series of long-distance triathlon races, and it's organized by the World Triathlon Corporation. And it consists of a 2.4-mile or 3.86-kilometer swim, a 112-mile or 180.25-kilometer bicycle ride, and a marathon, which is around 26.22 miles or 42.2 kilometers.
That's a standard marathon.
Yes.
Okay, great.
And it goes in that order as well. Mm-hmm. It's widely considered. It's as one of the most difficult one-day sporting events as...
Wait, all of this takes place over one day, you're saying?
Yes, it takes approximately on an average 16 to 17 hours to complete the race.
And what was your time like this time?
About 16 hours and 35 minutes.
That's pretty impressive, man. Where did you do this time? Where did it take place?
This happened in Malaysia.
Okay. Were there other Indians taking part?
Oh, there were plenty. There were actually, if I recall correctly, about 24 Indians.
Who completed the Ironman?
Yes, yes.
Oh, wow. That sounds pretty daunting. But when we come back, we'll be talking to Brian about what kind of preparation went into becoming, Ironman. Stick around. You're listening to Post Office, right here on Voice of McKinsey India.
Notes from the Post Office.
Speaking of post office, several of our colleagues here in McKinsey India have done several interesting things over the course of the past few weeks. And to tell us all a bit about what that was and some recommendations to boot, here's a set of our colleagues telling us some exciting things they've been up to.
McKinsey India recommends.
Hi, I'm Ria and I'm a consultant based in the Mumbai office. These days, work takes me to Noida. And when I do find some downtime, I love doing the heritage walks across Delhi. My particular favorite is the one in Mehroli village. The walk explores the area behind the famous Qutub Minar complex. Mehroli is built around the Sufi shrine of Bakhtiar Kaki, and each monument in the neighborhood has a story to tell. There are stepwells where the water smelled of sulfur, a tank where Prophet Muhammad apparently left a mark, martyrdom site of Sikh hero Banda Bahadur. There's even a palace of the Mughals and a still empty grave meant for the last Mughal emperor. So if you find yourself in the area, do not forget to check it out.
Hi, this is Swati and I'm an engagement manager based in Chennai office. During the recent Diwali break, my family and I took a few days off to go to Hampi. You think you've seen what all Hampi has to offer in photographs? But trust me, being there is a whole other experience. There are over 500 monuments, gorgeous stepwells, beautiful ancient temples, and sunsets by the Tungabhadra River are to die for. Hampi, as you might know, is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. I have a personal goal of wanting to see them all in the next 5 years. There are 38 of them, and I'm now down 21. Wish me luck.
Hey, this is Jude, and I'm a junior associate based in the Gurugram office. One of the things I was looking forward to when I joined McKinsey was the opportunity to travel on work. Of course, work can be quite hectic, but in our work visits, we do try and savor the local culture as much as we can. I am originally from Kerala and I had never been to Gujarat before. So this time when we were in Ahmedabad for work, it was such a revelation. The food culture there is just top notch. And I got to go to that Kutch festival for a couple of days. Camel rides, music, dance, beautiful handicrafts, the landscape itself, you name it, Kutch has it. The festival is on till the 23rd of Feb, so do not miss it.
Hey, this is Avinash, and I work in the finance department in the Mumbai office. I'm also a bass guitarist in a band in Mumbai, and I love electronic dance music. So music festival season is something I really look forward to. Here in India, Magnetic Fields is happening between the 13th and 15th of December at an old 17th century palace in Rajasthan. So if you're into EDM, electronica, deep house, you should be there. Maribu State, Black Madonna, and some other really big names will be there as well. So if you're there, just holler. I'll find you with my glow stick.
Well, thank you for those recommendations, Ria, Swati, Jude, and Avinash. And Avinash, I'm probably going to find you with my glow stick at Magnetic Field. So if any of you are going to be joining us there, do be sure to let us know. You can always write into us, mckinseypodcast@mckinsey.com. And that brings us to the end of this inaugural podcast of Voice of McKinsey India. In 15 days, there will be another edition and some more exciting voices for you to listen to. We will be speaking to Dr. Dhvani Mehta, who works out of the Mumbai office and whose work is primarily in the education sector. So she's going to be telling us all about what automation has in store when it comes to education, and specifically girl children's education. So we'll be talking to Dhvani Mehta, and we'll also be talking to Arundhati Nagraj, who, in addition to being a consultant here in the Gurgaon office, is also an accomplished Carnatic singer and will be performing in the very prestigious Madras music season coming up in December. So all of these voices and more will be joining us on the next episode. Until then, this is me, Rakesh Sharma, saying thank you for joining us and see you in 15 days.
Voice of McKinsey India.